Hello, and welcome to Lecture 12. I hope you are all enjoying this series and the topics that we are exploring. Please feel free to ask any questions that you have about parenting and behavior management of children with special needs by calling in and leaving a recording of your question. I'll be happy to address them in order that they arrive to me. So just to recap, here is the list of the 11 lectures that we've done so far. First, we talked about what comes first, behaviors or emotions. Then we discussed doctor's predictions. We introduced ignore negative behaviors and separate without comment. We answered questions about adolescence and preemies. We talked about staying organized and consistent, and we explored sibling rivalry in children who are typically developing and children with special needs. We also discussed children with ADHD and how their needs should be addressed. And last time we explored ignore negative behaviors, INB, and separate without comment, SWC, in greater detail using the adapted version of the Are Your Hands Full audiobook, Volume 1. And today's lecture will be about missions, which will bring us to the end of Phase 1 of the Are Your Hands Full program. Here is the adapted recording of the section on missions from the Are Your Hands Full audiobook, Volume 1.
It is of critical importance that children not be placed in a situation that will lead to any form of disobedience during the time that parents are implementing the IMB and SWC techniques, since the goal of these techniques is to establish parental authority. Therefore, it is imperative that parents avoid giving direct commands to their children during this 6 to 8 week period. By so doing, they avoid giving the child any opportunity to disobey them. Eventually, after implementing the INB and SWC techniques consistently, parents will begin phase two, during which they will actively ensure that direct commands are obeyed. You might wonder, how is it possible for children to perform daily tasks without a parent's commands during this 6 to 8 week period? The answer? Missions. When we use missions, we direct children's actions, but we avoid disobedience because the child was never specifically commanded to follow a directive. Missions are statements of a situation. They describe the situation and imply that something needs to be done, but they do not include a direct command. Let's look at an example. Direct command: please give me a drink. And a mission: I am very thirsty. Reframe the command so that you will be stating it as a situational fact rather than a direct command. Remove the words you or your from the statement. A mission will be most effective if it does not contain these words. Count your words. A mission should not contain more than 10 words. State your mission to the child in a calm manner. If the child does as you intended, say a pleasant thank you. If the child does not do as you intended, you do not need to enforce your mission because you have not issued a direct command and therefore no disobedience has occurred. If time passes and you would like to restate your mission, you may do so as long as you have allowed at least 15 minutes to pass between missions and your second mission is identical to the original one. Chevy was about to run out of the house without shoes. I wanted to say, please put on your shoes, Chevy. Instead, I attempted to reframe the command into, people wear shoes when they go outside, and the shoes are in the front closet. Although there was no you or your in my first attempt to formulate this mission, I realized that I had used way too many words, 15 in all. So I condensed the concept to, children need shoes. Shoes are in the front closet. In this example, if Chevy puts on her shoes, her mother may say thank you. If Chevy does not put on her shoes, she will not have disobeyed her mother because her mother did not say put on your shoes. The possible situations that may occur if Chevy persists in running outside barefoot have already been discussed. Chevy's mother will simply identify running barefoot outside as a negative behavior and separate her from that behavior by bringing her back inside the house without comment.
So now that we've finished reviewing ignore negative behavior, separate without comment, and missions in great depth, you have now mastered phase one of this program. Do as best as you can to implement these three strategies for as many weeks as you can until eventually, Be'ezras Hashem, I will go into further discussion of phase two. In the meantime, here's a little treat just to cap off this lecture. So this is a question that I get a lot. My children view the 3 weeks and the 9 days as a time of restriction from the things that they would like to do during their long summer breaks. How can I teach them to identify these weeks as something more than just counting the days until they can turn on the music and jump into the swimming pool? This is an excellent question. And the answer to this question lies in how we, the adults, live our lives in this gullus during the remaining 49 weeks of the year. So it's really not about the 3 weeks. It's about the 49 weeks. Do we truly want Mashiach during the 49 weeks? Or are we afraid of the unknown and would we secretly, very, very secretly, rather that things remain status quo? Do we sleep comfortably in our beautiful homes here in Gullis without being bothered by the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have a home? Are we in touch with the temporary aspect of Gullis, the fact that it's temporary, during the 49 weeks of the rest of the year? Do we anesthetize ourselves by keeping so extremely busy that we don't have time during the 49 weeks to stop and think about the Geula, and are therefore unable to mourn or be misabel about something that we can't even relate to? Although keeping our ruchniyistik, a yearning, awake and alive during all the 52 weeks of the year is an extremely important adult goal, care must be taken when these concepts are communicated to children as well. Because children require safety and security in order to develop, the presentation of our history can sometimes be a challenge and must be presented in a positive manner. Show children pictures of the Beis HaMikdash and describe how gorgeous it was. Tell children stories about the incredible nisim that Klal Yisrael experienced when Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash were fully built. Bear in mind that although children should be aware that Yidden have suffered throughout history, it is best to minimize details of horror stories that children become frightened of. And finally, create beautiful visions about what the third Beis HaMikdash will look like in Mitzvah Hashem, Bimheira Biyameinu. Now, here's the trick. Do this during the 49 weeks so that your children will know what they're missing when the 3 weeks arrive. So when you come out of Tisha B'Av, if Chalila, this Tisha B'Av, does not turn into a Yom Tov, you will have an opportunity to convey the correct message when you enter the 49 weeks after you break your fast. Openly discuss that you look forward to the fact that this will be our last Tisha B'Av that's going to be a fast day, and that you're eagerly awaiting next Tisha B'Av, which will be a major Yom Tov. Avoid communicating to your children that you are relieved that the 3 weeks are over so that you can get on with your life. Explain the makar for the simcha and the hope that Shabbos Nachamu represents, which is based on the famous story of Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara in Makkos. And you can find that story written out in English on page 129 in my Are Your Hands Full textbook, volume 1. And continually describe the beauty of Yerushalayim HaBnuya and implant clear visions of what the Beis HaMikdash, the Avoda, the Kohanim, the Leviim, the Karbanos, the Regalim will look like when Mashiach comes. May we be Zaycha that the 3 and the 49-week period will merge into one period of Geula Shleima B'mheira B'yameinu.